They used Greek on their coins long after that language fell out of widespread use in the region. And they adopted the Persian title King of Kings to describe their position as head of the empire. The Parthian administration was by far the most flexible of any that we've studied. The rulers of Parthia required tribute from their provinces, but otherwise they imposed remarkably few restrictions, and they allowed widespread self-governance. In no way did the Parthians interfere with the local economy. So really what we see is the Parthian rulers at the head of a state that was a conglomeration of different regions and that had different styles of economy and different styles of governance. One of the distinctive aspects of Parthian rule was that kings expected local leaders to have their own defensive forces rather than supplying troops for them. As you might predict, this would result in a powerful system of independent leaders, and a leader with his own army could easily revolt against the king if they felt strong enough. There are a couple of different ways to interpret this type of administration. First, that there was no strong centralized ruler, and so the Parthian king could not protect himself from either internal challenges by ambitious rivals, or we could look at the Parthian system of governance as one that allows a great amount of flexibility. And this flexibility gave them a cushion from which they could recover from any threats to the state more easily than we've seen in earlier empires. The Parthians did rule for almost 500 years, so however we interpret their system of government, it worked effectively for quite a long time. In comparison to the methods used by earlier states, the Parthians created this decentralized administration. The Assyrians enforced their tax and tribute demands with their army if a subject state did not comply. Assyrian governors were appointed by the king, who then took steps such as making the provinces smaller to ensure that these men did not try to challenge them. From the number of revolts documented against Assyrian rule, we could extrapolate the interpretation that Assyrian rule was simply too harsh for many provinces to endure, and no matter how terrified they were of the Assyrian army, having Assyrian domination over them was too much to bear. The Parthian administration is closer to the Persian approach, which often left local rulers in place, likely believing that it would be easier to get the goods and resources necessary to support the empire if they rewarded those who allied with them. In the first century BC, the Parthians founded a capital city across the river from Seleucia on the Tigris at Ctesiphon. Although the Parthians had several royal residences and capitals, very much like the Achaemenids, they traveled between them, Ctesiphon's location made it the primary center of administration. This era of Parthian history is especially confusing, but we know that during the first century, Parthia appears as a determined and resilient enemy of Rome. The Romans had taken over most of the Mediterranean world, and now we're moving into territory that has become very familiar to us: Syria, Asia Minor, Egypt, and was trying to push their borders even further east, so they were butting up against the Parthians. Roman generals, such as Julius Caesar or Pompey the Great, were greedy for victory, which they could then convert into political power at home, and they plundered aggressively wherever they campaigned. A contemporary of Caesar and Pompey, Marcus Licinius Crassus, led 40,000 troops against the Parthians when he was governor of Syria in 54 BC. The Roman army was decisively defeated, and Crassus himself was killed.